Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. A message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we're blessed this day that once again you have caused us to come together again. And Father, we pray that as we enter the word of God, that Lord God, that as we dare not to enter without you, that you will accompany us with your spirit. I pray that you will speak to every heart that is tuned into this broadcast that wants to hear your voice. I pray that they hear your voice. Any way you choose to display it, let it be done. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would endow us with understanding of your word. That, Lord, that we not only read it, but we might understand what we read. So, Lord God, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on the fifth and final part of this message that is entitled Beware of New Age Christianity, a warning through Jeremiah. For those of you that are first-time listeners, and perhaps some of you may not be, and I failed to mention this in the past, the follow button you see on the page you're listening to this broadcast to, click on it. It's going to ask for your email information. And the purpose of that is that whenever we do create a broadcast, you will be automatically alerted. And once again, that is a good thing because though our primary time is 7 p.m. nightly, there's times where we will have to do a broadcast early, such as examples right now that I'm doing this broadcast at 4:30 p.m. So, hey, click that follow button, put in your email information so you can be alerted whenever we do a broadcast. Now, also, for those of you that are first-time listeners, Blog Talk Radio does record our past broadcasts. So I want to encourage you to go back to listen to parts 1 through part 4 after you listen to part 5 here to be caught up to speed. Now, once again, we are dealing with part 5 today, the fifth and final part to this message that the Lord will have for me to get out to beware of New Age Christianity. And if you ain't seen or heard about it yet, don't worry about it. Keep living. You will. Because I have seen testimony of those on social media who was claiming Christianity but got into that New Age practice where they start calling it New Age Christianity. I've seen the consequences that they have suffered and how they repented and thank God that they was delivered. But the Lord is saying, beware of this, because if you look at, quote, so-called Christianity today and see the direction where it's going or where it's been going, okay, it's not a good direction. And this is the reason why the Lord had been sending Elijah to restore all things. But the simple fact is that he is bringing forth a people, amen, who will walk in the pattern that he set as in the days of old, okay? That's why the Lord is bringing forth believers, and these believers is going to represent the bride, okay? And if you look today, once again, you can see that in the name of being a Christian, there's all kind of acts and works being done, and there are people who are calling themselves Christians, and they are justifying these sinful and immoral acts. Okay, you got a so-called preacher doing inappropriate dancing, and people may say, well, hey, it was with his wife. Some things are left to be private in the confines of your home. When you start, a husband and wife start doing these things out in the open, that's not acceptable in the sight of God. You can say what you want to, but it's not acceptable in the sight of God. Because one thing we got to remember, there's a boundary in all things, okay? There's a boundary in all things. And there are times where even people who claim to be Christians have the knack to step over that boundary. And they'll say, well, God's okay with it. Well, not necessarily so. You know, just like people say, well, that person is married. Yeah, but there are some things that is confined or supposed to be confined to your private matter at home. Doing the inappropriate dancing, you know, even if with your wife or with your husband in the open in front of people, or doing it on a YouTube or any kind of social media platform, is unacceptable, okay? So please, you know, spare me the that's my husband, that's my wife kind of stuff. There's a boundary in all things, okay? There's a boundary in all things. Hallelujah. I wasn't intending to say that, but thank the Lord. Now, this fifth and final part of this message I'm dealing with today is the judgment of God. The judgment of God concerning such practices of this New Age Christianity. You know, one of the sad things that's been happening among the Christian community, and I understand why the Lord said what he has said when he says, preach the whole truth. When he sent the Elijah with the message, he said, preach the whole truth, preach the full gospel, because as the Christianity community as a whole, we haven't been doing it. We've been preaching a half gospel, a piece of a gospel. We've been preaching a goody two-shoes gospel, per se, just the good things of the gospel, but not the things where that, for example, we have preached that Jesus is love, and that's true. I don't argue against that. I don't speak against that. That's true. And we've been telling people Jesus is love. We've been telling people there is a heaven, and all this is true. But we also leave out warning them that there is a hell, okay? There is a lake of fire and brimstone. And then we leave out that God is a God of judgment. He is not some weak being up there that you can run over, step on, treat as a doormat, kick to the curb, cuss him out, tell him off, and then ease on back in there where he at like nothing happened. He's not that type of person. But sad to say, in Christianity, in general, in a sense, we have displayed like he is. And you have some Christians in the corner, when they see other Christians, quote, trying to go forth to preach the whole truth, they criticize. They say, oh, don't say that. You're scaring them. That's not of God where you're talking. Come on now, stop it. Listen, our job is to preach the full truth, to teach the full truth. Amen. Not to preach this half stuff or preach something that you think the people would like and get excited on, because that's what many of these, quote, ministers are doing. They're picking certain, quote, scriptures out the Bible to preach to people that they know people, quote, would like. And if you listen to some of them, everybody's saved. Amen. You listen to some of them, everybody is saved. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's saved. And get this, according to some, everybody's a child of God. But that ain't no more true. There is no more truth. That's not even true. But see, that's what they're preaching, okay? That's what many of them are teaching. Why? Because they want the fame, the popularity, the money, okay? Yeah. They want all of that. They want people to go around and brag about them and talk about them, and I want to join your church, okay? Amen. That's what they want. And see, in our failure, we have not fully preached or taught the gospel. We have not told people the whole truth. We have buttered up parts of the gospel. We have milked per se, or made milk-like of the gospel, or water it down, if I could put it that way, of the gospel, because, quote, we don't want to offend people. Amen. That's what it's about. Oh, I don't want to make them upset. I want to make, listen. And I'm not saying be a tyrant or something like that. But I got a new flash for you. You're not going to be able to fully preach the gospel without making somebody upset, without somebody's feelings getting hurt. You're not going to be able to do that. Amen. And see, some of us, we are so stuck on, I don't want to offend people, is that we have neglected our responsibility and preaching the gospel in its fullness. We have neglected it, people. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord is not pleased with it. He's not pleased with it. Now, this warning that the Lord is giving through Jeremiah to his people, when he says early in the 10th chapter of Jeremiah, and if you have your Bibles, I ask if you would turn to the 10th chapter of Jeremiah. But early in that chapter, he warns his people. He said, first he said, hear, O Israel. Hear. Hear what the Lord is saying to you. And he said, learn not the ways of the heathen, neither be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed. Okay? You got people into all types of psychic practices, astrology, reincarnation, okay, witchcraft and stuff like that. And here's the kicker, saying I am a Christian. Amen. There are some people I've seen as of late who may have been well-known or well-known in the world who have turned around and said, I'm a Christian now. I've been baptized. And I still see that darkness on them. And see, what Satan has come to understand is that he sees that it is very easy for a person to come among the Christian community just claiming they're a Christian. It's very easy. I mean, in the Christian community, we have become so naive. I mean, you can have a person talking about they saved now and be having all kinds of witchcraft material. Amen. And we fail to properly discern when something is a trick. But here's the thing to this message here, and another reason why the Lord has sent such a warning is because, you know, you find some Christians jealous of the world. It seems like in the world, the people of the world is getting what they want to get, doing what they want to do. And they want whatever they want, they just go on, go for it, you know. And, you know, they own person, don't have to answer nobody. And sad to say, and that's how it appeared anyhow, sad to say, there are some Christians who have become jealous. You know, even to the point where they start questioning God. And I understand to a degree, you know, when you're doing that. But here's the problem. Some of God's people are questioning them to a point that they're turning away from them, and they're taking on the ways of the heathen. Okay? They get into a lot of the same stuff that the unbelievers are into. Amen. This is why you see the spirit of the world has crept, quote, in the church. This is why you see people who claim to be Christians doing all this worldly, immoral stuff, and you're sitting there with your mouth wide open saying, and he po' be a preacher, or she po' be a mother in the church, or he po' be a deacon. I can't believe what I'm seeing, but that's why it's happening. And so you have some Christians that have got caught up in this new age stuff. They're doing acts and practices that's connected to witchcraft, divination, okay, soothsaying, psychics, you know, astrology, horoscoping. Yeah, horoscope. Amen. I know some of y'all is saying to yourself, now, Brother Nate, you're being far-fetched. being far-fetched. No, I'm not being far-fetched. I'm not being far-fetched. And see, what the devil has tricked many of God's people at is that some of them have been waiting or looking for something from God that they asked God about. And what happened is they've gotten tired of waiting on God. And so what has happened, they're looking at these sinners who enter this new age stuff, and it seemed like they're getting what they want quick and all that. So now they're looking at them, and now a jealousy is starting to build up. Okay? Amen. Because to them, God is taking too long. And the reason why I understand, I mean, I can relate to that, because Brother Nate was in the same predicament in 1993. I was in the same predicament. I thought the same way like them. And I end up getting myself cursed. Okay? That's just the bottom line. Ain't nothing good. And hear me closely. To you, Christian, that's listening, who perhaps you've been getting into some other stuff, maybe a friend of yours hip you to it and all that, and you thinking it's all good, I'm telling you, if it ain't supported by Scripture, you better back up out of it. And see, some of you are getting into some stuff that even the Scriptures have pointed out to you that's wrong. But because you listen to your good friend or that close family member that you know, you're practicing it, and now some of you starting to see something is going wrong with you. You know, you're getting more, you're sensing more demonic presence. You're being afflicted more by demons, and you're like, what in the world is going on? Now, in the 10th chapter of Jeremiah, 17 and 18 is what we're going to read and look at. And once again, this part of the message is talking about the judgment of God. The Lord is saying, and here's, I'm going to put it straight to you as I can put it. If you want to practice that New Age Christianity, the judgment of the Lord is going to hit you. You better repent. Come out of it. I'm not saying repent, saying I'm sorry, and then keep practicing it. See, that's not full repentance, people. And that's another, I'm trying to find the right word to say it, that people have missed out on. You know, when you say repent to people, they think it just means you just say I'm sorry. That's just part of it, okay? See, if I'm stealing from you, taking money out of, say, sister out of your purse or brother out of your wallet, something like that, if I'm stealing from you, I can look at you and say I'm sorry, but if I'm saying I'm sorry, but I'm still continually stealing from you, I am not fully repentant, people. Because also the other definition of repent means to turn away from sin. You got to turn away from it. Okay? See, that's what people miss out. So then you have people, see, you have some Christians think they can get away with just saying I'm sorry. They don't have to show no action of turning away from the act they committed that was sin, okay? So they think that, just say I'm sorry, you know, hallelujah. And so I guarantee you, when you ask most people, let me get more specific. When you ask most Christians about repent, I guarantee you, most of them, the first thing they'll say is, well, it means say I'm sorry, you regret. And then they'll kind of hang right there. While you're sitting there waiting for them to say the rest of it, they'll sit right there. And so now you got to say, well, hey, what about the action? Don't repent involving you turning away from something, okay? And then that's where you would get some of them kind of looking at you funny, where to a point you have to give them an example of what you're talking about. And part of that misunderstanding came from some in the ministry. Because you had some in the ministry leading people to think that all you have to say is I'm sorry and leave it at that, and like you ain't got to stop the act. We got to stop the act, people. That's a full repentance, okay? We got to stop the act. So we can't, you know, just say, well, I'm sorry. If I'm slapping you in the face and I'm looking at you and I say, hey, I'm sorry, and I keep slapping you, what good is me saying I'm sorry if I'm not going to stop slapping? Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 17, the word of God said, gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. Gather up thy wares. Thy wares, in the Hebrew word there, one of the meanings of the word wares is packages. So there was a reason why this word was given to the natural Israel at that time, and there is a spiritual symbolic meaning for today. First of all, it was given to the natural Israel at that time because they're given a word to say, get prepared, you're going to go into bondage. This is when the Babylonians are going to get ready to come in and take over there. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. To get your stuff together. When he said, gather up the wares of that land, he said, get your packages, get your stuff together. Because you're going to be taken in captivity. Amen. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. You think God won't listen? And see, here, Israel, they were doing the no-nos. And this is why God was telling them, about among the people that you're among, learn not the ways of the heathen. But see, they were doing some stuff they got no business doing. So, okay, God said, okay, your enemy is going to come and take you in captivity. That's what's going to happen. Amen. See, you have some people that think they can do whatever and no consequences is to happen to them. So they get upset with God and say, why is this happening to me? Like they're going around the store stealing, and now they get put in jail and then have the nerve to say, why is this happening to me, God? What? I thought you were supposed to be keeping me. God, I'm not going to keep you while you're out there stealing. Okay. Amen. You know, it's amazing what some of us as Christians, our mindset on certain things. Like, we think that because we're called Christians, we can do anything and not face consequences. Or we can do anything, and God's just going to uphold us. Well, I got a new flash for you. He ain't that type of God. He ain't that type of God. Hallelujah. He is not that type of God. My God, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. And see, the Lord will send not only a warning to you about what not to do, but if you in that thing and you ain't turned away from it, God will send you a message and let you know your enemy finna come and take you. He can give it to you in a dream or a vision, or give it to you through the mouth of someone else, or reveal to you in your spirit. He can do that. Israel, you know, they kept getting into stuff they got no business getting into. And then the people they was around, you know, they had this knack to kind of be drawn to them and start doing practices with them. Now, that sounds familiar, don't it? That sounds like some Christians today. Some Christians, when they're around sinners and the sinners are doing some immoral acts or stuff like that, you start noticing they start doing. If some sinners start talking disrespectful, you start noticing they start doing. Okay? So they easily, some Christians are easily, quote, influenced that way. Okay? Because, and one of the reasons why is because they want to fit in, okay? Yeah, you know, you got some Christians who wants to fit in. They can't take when they're walking in holiness and people running away and don't want to be around. They can't, some of them can't take it. They have to have people around. They can't take it when the people start talking about them, calling them names, holy roller and stuff of that nature. They can't take it. So in their mind, you can't beat them, join them. And so that's what they do. They go join them. And so you start seeing them doing some stuff, and you like, brother, sister, what are you doing? And so, and here's the kicker. Some of them know that it's wrong, so what they do is they're justified doing it. And then if you really want to make them upset, they're going to come out and say, you can't judge me. Final line that they use to justify, you can't judge me. You know, you got some Christians, they done wore that line out so bad, you know, it's just like when you buy a shirt that had writing on it, and you done wore that shirt so much that the writing started wearing out on it. They have wore that line out so bad that it's not funny anymore. It's pitiful. And they actually think saying such a thing would actually justify them and get them over. But that tells me you really don't understand what type of God you're supposed to be serving. Okay? So he says, get up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress, those that would be under siege. Because he see the Babylonians is coming to take them captive. Verse 18, for thus says the Lord. Now, when one is operating under the gift of prophecy, there'll be times where, and remember the gift of prophecy is the gift of the Holy Spirit, where you are moved to speak from your spirit and not just out of your head. It's something that the Holy Ghost will give you to say. And he said, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once and will distress them that they may find it so. Now, first of all, that is a prophetic word with a word of wisdom. Okay? Hallelujah. From the Lord. The second thing I want you to understand is that that's a curse, people. Oh, my goodness. No, Brother Nate, you didn't say. Yes, that's a curse. That's a curse from who? Who spoke it? It was from the Lord. Using Jeremiah to speak. That's why thus says the Lord. See, you got some Christians, you mentioned that, God wouldn't speak a curse. God is love. Yes, God will speak a curse. He cursed the fig tree in the book of Mark. He said, no man eat a fruit henceforth from thee forever. Even the next day when they came back through, Peter said, oh, the fig tree thou cursed. See, that curses that come from devil and that curses that come from God. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. I know some of you said, now, you got the nerve to say it. Well, you're looking at the word of God right here. People carry the mentality that Jesus is just one big giant pushover. He's just so soft that you just can run him over, okay? You can do anything, talk about him, cuss at him, everything, and you still can come back where he at like it ain't nothing. Yeah, there's some that carry that mentality like that. Amen. Now, here's the interesting thing that he said in this 18th verse. He said, well, thus says the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once. Now, the word sling in the Hebrew is, when you look at the Hebrew word for that, it puts you in the mind of a circle of motion. Now, think about it. You remember those slingshots? And I know some of us, and listen, I'm 52. So those of you around my age, remember the time when you grew up and you made your homemade slingshot. Well, regardless of whether it was bought or homemade, when you put, let's say, a rock in there, once you start twirling it in a circle of motion and poof, shoot it forward, that rock sling out fast, right? But this is what the Lord is talking about, how you're going to do with the people. He said, I will sling out the inhabitants of this land at this once. So sling them out at poof. Whirl up, twirl them in a twirling motion, and poof, they're going to shoot out. Because see, when you're looking at a regular slingshot and you sling that rock, it comes out quickly, fast. Now, the word for today through that is that God, that this curse, those who want to practice this so-called New Age Christianity, those that claim to be Christians want to get in this New Age stuff, God said the judgment is going to hit you, and it's going to knock you out of your place quickly, out of your place spiritually quickly. Hallelujah. Because see, some people are in places and they're practicing it and they are leading others into this same kind of practice. You get what I'm saying? They're leading others into that. Amen. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. I said the Holy, hallelujah. Jesus, glory. Leading others into committing the same type of practice. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord said, you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to be taken captive by the enemy. Well, you know who your arch enemy is. It's Satan. And see, some that have been in it, that now that's what's going on with them. Satan has got them captive, okay? And with some, when they was practicing it, the Lord saw how they were leading others into practicing this stuff. You get what I'm saying? People, it is not a good thing to dibble and dabble. It's not a good thing for you to start dabbling into stuff that is satanic or demonic. It's not good, people. And see, what you do is that when you do that, you give Satan a legal right to afflict you. And when you do that, you can cause a curse from the Lord to come on you. Because, see, here's the kicker about this as well. Some of these proclaiming Christians are committing these acts openly. Other people are seeing it and going, wait a minute, I thought they was a Christian. They doing their little chant thing, you know. I thought they were Christian. What, they wearing this symbol? Wow. Oh, I thought they was a Christian. Oh, what are they in the Masonic order? Are you kidding me? Oh, I thought they was a Christian. What? They Omega Psi Phi? They in a fraternity or sorority? What the hell? I thought they was a Christian. The stuff I found out, they be heard about them doing it now. What? Amen. And see, the Lord said, and this is what's happening, exposure is coming. And to some, the Lord has spoken, and I want you to hear this, a curse upon them for practicing this so-called New Age Christianity. Some of them, God has sent a word to them and warned them, say, hey, repent, come out of this. And then they turned their head, put their hand over their ears. There was time that God gave them a dream. God gave them a vision. There was time that God had sent some to them. Thus says the Lord, come out of that. And they what? They turned a deaf ear. And the Lord said, okay. All right. And so now God is sending another word, but it's a word that contains a curse. Hallelujah. Glory. Mm. And you find some of them saying, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Listen, when I was cursed in 1993, people, I knew what it was about. I knew what I had done. I knew I had messed up. All I could do was plead for mercy and repent and ask the Lord to help me, not to stand up there shaking my fist at the Lord and say, why are you letting this happen to me? Lord, what you doing? No, it wasn't none of that. In fact, none of that could have gotten me delivered. Okay? Wasn't happening. Amen. Wasn't happening. None of that was going to get me delivered. So you want deliverance, you got to be real with God and be honest. You got to, there's time you got to say, Lord, I did that thing. I know I was wrong in doing that. I did that. Not sit up there and say, well, Lord, well you know, I did it because of, nuh-uh, cut it out. Or I didn't technically do anything wrong. I just, stop it. Stop it. You understand what I'm saying? And see here, he was warning the literal Israel, get prepared. Your enemy is coming. Take y'all in captivity. Get your stuff ready. You finna get moved out of this land. I'm finna sling you out of this land. In other words, God said, I'm going to be the slingshot, and I'm a pew, I'm going to sling you out. Amen. Once again, just think about a slingshot, people. Hallelujah. See, you're going to see it. Some of you are seeing some stuff now, but you're going to see more and more people knock out of their place quickly. Quickly. Because, see, people fail to understand that whenever God, and this goes for any of us, when God sends a warning of repentance, and we keep ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it, the next thing comes exposure. You know, it's just like Bishop Eddie Long. And listen, I love Bishop Eddie Long. I used to watch him over the period of years. And don't get me wrong. I know there was time God really used that man. That man was anointed, okay? But he got off track. And the stuff he was doing, ain't no doubt in my mind the Lord gave him a warning. I say at least more than one warning at some time or another. There's no doubt in my mind that God warned him, but he wouldn't heed the warning. And see, when the stuff started coming out about him, the more he started defending and standing up to a point where he said, he's David and the people against him and doing this is Goliath. And he's like, I hadn't even begun to sling a rock yet, you know, stuff like that. But then more stuff was being uncovered about him. Gee. And that really broke my heart in a sense because, like I said, I used to watch this brother for quite a few years. But here's the thing. Even after he was exposed, the other thing that grieved me was that, and listen, this goes for any of us. I want to intend to say this, but I'm going to say this right here. As ministers or in the ministry in the gospel, when you call in doing some heinous and immoral acts and stuff and all this stuff, listen, in your repentance, first off, we need to repent. And once again, repent means not only expressing your regret and sorrow, but turn away from the thing. But the next thing as a minister, whether you are a pastor or preacher, whatever, you need to sit down at least for a year and be under the word, under the tutelage of the word. And the sad thing about my brother Bishop Long, is that I noticed that he did not sit down. He kept trying to preach and trying to hold conferences, and then he even went over to, I think, what was it, another country or something, trying to hold a conference, and he never sat down. He never, and I don't ever remember him, and maybe some of you all have, hear him really repent. That with a combination of not really sitting down, and I saw what happened to him. And I hated to see that happen to him. My God. But see, the Lord says, judgment is going to hit you. To you, Christian, that's listening, and you're practicing some no-no stuff. See, you're practicing some stuff that's not of God, that either the scripture is speaking against plainly, or, okay, you can't find scripture to support that which you're doing. And like I said, some of you are doing it because your best friend suggested to you, you know, and it looked like your best friend is having the time of his or her life. And here you are, you, quote, waiting on God for something. You ain't got it yet. You done got impatient. So that good friend tells you stuff like, well, this is how I get peace. And then they start making the suggestion you do this little ritual and that little ritual. And so now you have fallen to it. Now you found yourself doing this kind of stuff, okay? You found yourself in it. And now you're reaping because you started sensing more demonic presence, whether it's in your house. Listen, when I was cursed, and, you know, I thank God for this day to deliver me. I thank God. When I was under that curse, and like I said, this is 2 years before I got married, and I had a roommate, and he was my best friend was my roommate, But he was not, he only came to the house on weekends when he got out, when he came from college, because he was going to college, okay? So through the week, it was just from Monday, I said, well, from Monday or maybe Sunday evening all the way up to like maybe Friday morning, it was just me at the house. And he would come there either Friday evening, Friday night, and I'd see him Friday, maybe Saturday. And then Sunday he had to, you know, go back to college, which was like an hour and 15-minute drive away. But having said that, when I was at the house myself under that curse, I was sensing demonic presence, whoa, quite a bit. I mean, this thing, I mean, people, when I'm telling you this, this is true. I had demons in that house hold me on my back on the couch one night, just held me down on my back. And I had enough strength to wiggle, to fall on the floor and crawl, but I can only crawl. I could not stand up. It's just like somebody twice my weight on my back. And all I could do was crawl from the living room to the bedroom, okay? That's all I could do. Then at around that time, another day around this time, there was demons in my house talking to me in the voice of someone I knew. And like I said, you know, I'm laying there and I'm talking with the person. Then it hit me, what is he doing in my house at this time in the morning? Because this is like 4 in the morning or something. And I'm like, what is he doing in my house? And it wasn't him, it was a demon. People, I'm trying to stress to you, especially going to you, Christian, that's listening, that is getting into, you may have said, well, I'm just going to try out this psychic. You know, I just want to hear some information about this. Don't do it. Don't even do it one time. Because all it takes is one time, you will be cursed. And see, God is speaking judgment to those who are claiming to be a Christian, but they are doing these new age practices, that they have turned away from hearing the word, the message and warning of repentance, and they still in this, and God said, okay, I'm going to speak my judgment upon you. And that's what he's doing. And to you that was considering doing this act, that's what's going to happen to you if you don't stay away from this thing. You get what I'm saying? People, this is a serious message. This is no joke. I see what is happening in this day, glory, hallelujah, in this day and time with, quote, Christianity. I see even the more things, the more immoral acts, the more immoral practices that's going on with some Christians and how they're justifying it, okay? That will make it worse. They're justifying it, okay? Some of them even has gone as far as saying, well, this is how I get peace with God, you know? Lord, help us. Jesus, Lord, help us. Glory. My God, hallelujah. Big, I just sense the spirit of the living God. We need the help of the Lord. Because people, I'm telling you, this is something serious. This is very serious. I'm seeing, you know, the stuff that you would see some Christians doing, what they fooling with, wouldn't make your eyebrows raise or your mouth fly wide open. It would do that. The stuff that they're bringing into their homes, the stuff that some Christians are watching on the TV, okay? You know, you got someone said, well, you know, I like watching scary movies, but you know what? They don't realize the type of spirit that's releasing to their house through that television tube when you're watching these demonic movies. That's why you start feeling that sense, feeling the atmosphere in your house like creepy, okay? Demonic. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Thank glory. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for Jesus Christ, my Savior. Beware, beloved. Beware of this New Age Christianity. Beware of this thing that you hear some Christians say. Well, you know, God is doing a new thing today. See, when I first, a few years ago, started hearing some well-known Christians say that, I had a real question about when they were saying it, because when they were saying it, some of the stuff I saw they were doing was worldly. You understand what I'm saying? And so they were using for, well, you know, God is doing a new thing today. And I look at what they're doing and I say, uh-huh. I'm like, what God are you talking about? Amen. I mean, you have just like you look at the situation even with Kirk Franklin. Now, there's a couple of things that people have been looking at that's been going on. It's like, I don't know how long this was, how long ago it was. They was on the stage and doing a song, and he's up there, what was he, twerking on one of the Clark sisters. Now it's come up that he was flirting with this woman. What's her name? Amanda Seals. I saw the interview, and he did say something that I was like, man, what's wrong with you? You know, you married, talking about being married, and then you're going to tell the other woman what she said sounds sex. I said, what? And what's so bad about it? She took the higher role then, and he's supposed to be the Christian. She said, I don't want to hear that. Wow. Think about it. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, man, forgive me. None of that. People, if you don't see it, ask the Lord to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, just like he did the servant of Elisha, Gehazi. If you don't see what's happening, this is why the Lord says Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things, because things have to be brought back to the pattern that Jesus set, not man, not me, not your pastor, not your sister in Christ, not your brother in Christ, not your husband, not your wife. It got to be brought back pattern that Jesus set. And see what is going on with, quote, Christianity today. It's not the pattern that Jesus set. It's not the pattern. Jesus said, you know, you going out there flirting, you know, you marrying, flirting with different women. No, come on now. It's like Christianity is being made a joke now. You know, if I wasn't saved and looked at Christianity now, I'd be like, man, please, you know, man, please, get up out of my face. Man, please. You what? Oh, yeah, okay. That's the truth, people. That's the truth. Hallelujah. I thank God for the blessed word of God. I thank God for keeping us, you know, here in Mississippi now. We had some ice, got down in the freeze to like teens. And, you know, it's right now, my laptop's saying it's 21 degrees. See, people, in Mississippi, we're not used to this real kind of cold weather. Chicago up north and all them places, but we're not. And like I said, you know, you can be a weatherman on TV in Mississippi. You be talking about something like this coming, you can just be saying it's coming. Well, it'll shake Mississippi up, okay? But we've had this, and I thank God for his preserving power to keep us. You know, the job I work at is, man, I can just walk outside my house. I can walk like maybe 100 feet, and I'm on the job site from my house. I thank God he blessed us so that he set it up that it happened like that, okay? And, but I say that to say this. Actually, I had some time where that I can do an earlier broadcast because we got off early today. We actually, you know, we was called to come in late, got off early because, you know, not many people, a whole lot of people didn't show up. But I was expecting that because of the type of weather we had. I mean, you driving on that road with ice good gracious, you're going to slide, especially some people that's going up hills or down hills. That wasn't going to work. That wasn't going to work. So I thank God for the blessed word today. Father, I thank you that once again you have given me this opportunity to spread the word of God to those who are listening. Father, I pray that you would water the seed I've sown and bring forth the increase. And so, Lord, I thank you. I glorify and magnify you because, Lord, you are worthy to be praised and to be glorified. I lift up your name in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, a message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.